that family, they usually sit over here, is it Hendrix with congestive heart failure. Let's take a moment and pray, and this will also be opening us up into our time of hearing from the Word. So if you would bow with me. Father, we just lift up the Hall family to you. We ask that you would just give them grace and peace and comfort during this time. We pray for Andy, that you would give her healing. We know that you have the power to heal supernaturally without any human means. And so we pray that you would heal her, whether through supernatural means or through ordinary means, through the doctors and through the medication. But we just ask that you'd bring her home safe. We just pray for her husband and her children during this time, that they would be comforted by your Spirit and feel your loving presence with them. Use us to minister to them. Father, as we transition to this time of hearing from your Word, I pray that you would just prepare our hearts and minds to hear from it, that you would just open our eyes to see the light of your glory this morning through your Word. I pray that you would guard my words this morning and fill me with your Spirit, that I'd only preach by your power. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our series looking at what it means to be a gospel people. This morning we're going to be looking at walking in light. And I was thinking about this passage, and I don't know how many of you maybe have heard this growing up or now that you're older, but folks will come up to you and say, well, you know, you walk like your daddy walked. Or your mama, or you kind of have this characteristics of your mom or your dad, or you kind of favor, you know, and folks tell you those things, and they tell you those things to compliment you, you know, and depending on your relationship with your folks, if it's a good relationship, that's complimentary. You know, that's something you can take some pride in, as being a lot like your father, or being having these certain characteristics of your mother or grandparent. Or an aunt or an uncle that's really influenced you tremendously, that you had a good relationship with. When you're with somebody that you look up to, that you respect, that you love, they begin to influence how you walk, how you talk, your mannerisms. And so this morning we're going to look at how our life in Jesus is similar. That as we grow in our walk with Christ, he begins to influence how we walk and how we talk. And so the passage we're looking at this morning shows us what that looks like in being a gospel people. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll be in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and following. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that anyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things they do in secret. But in everything, when everything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." You may be seated. So this passage just really unpacks what it looks like to walk in light. It's a charge to the church that this is what we're to be. Since we are children of God, since he is our father, since what Christ has done for us, we ought to walk like our dad. We ought to talk like our dad. And so we're just looking at two major points this morning from this text. And I think it can be boiled down into just some a couple of sayings that we're to be who we are, and we're to show what we've been shown. That's it. So we're going to talk about the first one now. We're simply commanded here to be who we are. Here's what I mean by that. That may seem like a weird statement, but here in this passage, throughout the first four chapters, Paul has spent a lot of time explaining who Christ has made you to be. If you've accepted Christ, here's who you are. Here's what God has done for you. Here's how you've been transformed by the gospel. And he spends four chapters explaining what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be in the faith, what it means to be saved by his work on the cross. And so now in this text, he says, be who you are. And your actions are going to demonstrate, if they characterize your life, who you are. And as Christians, the first thing that we need to understand is that if we've accepted Christ, if we've trusted in him, if we've given our life to him, we're beloved children. And so like I mentioned earlier, if we're beloved children of God, then we begin to walk and talk like our Father. And the only way you know how to do that is not just by accepting him as your accepting Christ as your Savior, but you begin to learn about who God is, what his character is, what his mannerism is. Why does he say this thing is good and this thing is bad? Why does he do the things that he does? What pleases him? What displeases him? And the only way that you do that is by being in his word. You cannot know how to walk like the Father unless you know the Father and are growing in knowledge of the Father. This is why our mission statement has been stated this way, that we are to know Christ. That means knowing Christ, you growing in knowledge of him. It's not just it begins with coming to know him, but it also continues with a life that is growing in knowledge of him. That's the only way you make him known. That's the only way that your actions and words begin to be transformed to reflect him. That you begin walking like your dad and talking like your dad, your heavenly Father. He's commanding these Christians that they are not to do the very things that actually God is bringing wrath on the world for. That once they were darkness, once they did live in a way that did not honor God, and this is the very reason they came to God for salvation in Christ, is they realized that living a life, doing what is right in my own eyes, which is the definition of sin, makes me deserving of God's wrath. And it is coming on the world. There'll be a day where everyone will stand before the Lord in judgment, and they'll receive what they're owed, which if they're not in Christ, it will be wrath. Because all of us deserve wrath. The only reason we don't get it is because Jesus died on the cross and we accepted the wrath that was poured out on him for us. He got wrath so that we could get acceptance instead of wrath. If you don't have Christ, you don't have forgiveness. Without Christ, you have wrath. And so since we are now beloved children, we're to walk as dad walks, and we see some characteristics here in our second point, but we don't live like we used to anymore. And so those are listed here. Sexual immorality. So we're just going to jump right into that one. This is something that is very, the Bible, because it's truth and because it unveils everything that's light and everything that's dark, it's going to step on toes in every culture on the face of the world. The idea of grace in countries that are more traditional, and it's more of a shame culture where you can shame your family, and so you live your life on honor and shame. You either honor your family or you dishonor your family. That's more, we see that more in the East. The idea of grace is offensive to them. We like the idea of grace. God's doing something good to me I don't deserve. In their culture, that would be offensive. That'd be unthinkable, because what you do matters to them, and it either reflects honor or shame on the family. And so that's how they live on that. And so the idea of grace is so radical. For us, the idea that God can look at something and say, that is wrong, that is evil, that deserves wrath, is offensive now in our culture. That wouldn't be in a more shame-based culture, shame-honor culture like that. They would be fine with that. They understand that. In our culture, though, it's the reverse. We love the idea of grace. We hate the idea of wrath, of judgment, of just calling things like they are and saying that is wrong and deserves punishment. And so here in this passage, what we have happening for our culture is God shining light on it and saying, these certain things deserve wrath because you are looking at something I've said is evil and you're saying they're good and they're not. You've rebelled against me. And so sexual immorality is one of those areas. In our culture, because of a trajectory we've been set on for, I don't know, you could argue 50 years, it's probably been more like 250. Sexual liberty in our culture is a virtue. The Bible says it is a sin. As Christians, because we have been saved by Christ and bought with his blood and we are now beloved children, if we're to model the Father, we begin to look at what the Father says is wrong and we say, that's wrong. We let the Father define for us what is in bounds and what is out of bounds, what is true and right and good and what is evil and unjust and what we're deserving of his wrath. That's what this text says very, very plainly, because this term, sexual immorality and impurity, that basically if those are the junk drawer, that's everything. There's not a, that's everything. Everything that is sexual outside of the context of a marriage between a man and a woman within the covenant of marriage, after they've said the vows, anything outside of that is out of bounds. And what he's saying is, if you are children of light, you're to have nothing to do with that, because it goes against everything. It goes against everything that God stands for and everything that he deems good and pure and holy. He goes on further, and covetousness, man, I have a hard time with that word. It's hard to pronounce. Basically, that just means a desire for things. It could be anything. It could be anyone. But it's basically you're finding satisfaction in some created thing over God. That's at the heart of that word. That you're looking around and you're saying, well, I'm going to be more satisfied with X, Y, or Z than God. And in this passage, he said, you're not to do that. In fact, later he says, that's actually idolatry. You are worshiping. When you cherish something more than God himself, when something becomes more satisfying to you than God, and we all do this practically, we turn to things rather than God. We turn to a book, we turn to TV, we turn to relationships, we turn to music, we turn to, you know, some people turn to bad things that we've all grown up hearing are bad, like, you know, drugs, alcohol, pornography, you know, sexual immorality. We point at those and say, those are obviously, they're mentioned in this text or referred to in a generic way in this text under covetousness, of finding satisfaction in something other than God. But there are also good things that we can love more than God. Either way, we're committing idolatry. We're not acting as beloved children. We're acting like children of wrath. And he's saying, be who you are. You are beloved children, so act like it. Act like it. And because of that, we not only these all have to do with things that our heart desires. It flows out here, because everything that you say flows from your heart. Everything. Everything you say in public, everything you say in private, everything you say behind closed doors flows from your heart. And so, as beloved children, who God is begins to not only shape what we desire, how we practice our sexual life, what we find satisfaction in, but it also shapes how we talk to one another. And that's what it's talking about here. It doesn't mean that we can't make jokes or can't be sarcastic. What it's talking about here, when it says there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, it's talking about sexual innuendos that make light of what God has called evil. Because that's what happens with jokes that are crude, that are sexual in nature. They're taking things that for which God is going to judge the world, for which people who do not accept Christ are going to hell, and we make light of them as if there's something to laugh at, and they're not. And he says that's not to be a part of us if we're children of God. And we you know, also something that we need to understand is that we've been rescued from wrath. That because we've been rescued from wrath, we shouldn't go back and do the very things that put Jesus up on the cross. Jesus went to the cross to rescue us from the things that this passage describes, that we've done in private and public, in our thoughts, maybe not in actions. Christ died for us for those things. So we shouldn't run back to those things rather than Jesus, because that's what we're doing. When we return to those things, we're running to those things rather than our Savior who died for us, who experienced wrath from God for on our behalf. And so since we've been lovingly rescued from wrath, we're to run to Jesus rather than these other things. We are also children of light. And this is the theme that we've been talking about all morning through worship, through song, through scripture reading. Is as children of light, we finally see things for how they really are. That's what light does. It exposes darkness. You can look and say, this is right, this is wrong. This is how the world really is, and there really is a God, and there really is a heaven, and there really is a hell, and it really matters whether you trust in Christ or not. We really know that there are spiritual, there's a spiritual existence that we cannot see, feel, or touch that is real. And these things are quickly passing and fading away. The physical part of the world is not bad, but it's flawed, it's broken. One day it will be restored. But for the moment, it's broken. And so things are broken, things quickly fade, our lives are short. We see all that because of God's light he's shown us through the truth of his word. And so we're to live like we know these things are true. You know these things. There's probably nothing revolutionary here if you've been in church any number of years or even a short amount of time and you've heard teachings from the Bible. None of that should be revolutionary. The problem is we don't often live like it because it should be revolutionary. Revolutionary means it should change every aspect of who you are, how you think, how you live. Knowing that people around you need Christ should change how you interact with them. Knowing that they are in need of a Savior, that there really is a heaven, that there really is a hell, changes how we live and talk and how we use our time. It changes all that. The root of being able to live that kind of life, of living as a beloved children, and running to Jesus instead of what we've been rescued from, living as a child of light because of the light that's been shown to us through the gospel, through the word of God. All these things are possible because God has already made you a child if you've trusted in his son. If you trusted in his son. There has to come a moment in life where you realize and accept, this is mine, I own this, I accept what Christ has done for me. Without that identity, you can't be this. You can fake it. You can put on a front. But if you've accepted him, he's given you everything that you need to do this. You can't lose. We make it seem like, I know I talk often, well, we don't all perfectly do this. I say this a lot, right? The truth is, though, that while we don't all perfectly do this, this is why we have to ask for forgiveness. First John 1, we have to admit that we are sinners and we have sin and we ask for forgiveness. The reason why we can keep going is that we can really please God with our lives now. You've been given, you can win the day. And one day you will fully win the day. You have everything that you need to do these things. This is not an impossible task because you have God's Spirit residing inside of you. And you really can grow into this identity. Be who you are. Become who you are. You've already been made this. If you've trusted in Christ, if you've realized living your life, doing what you want to do, doing what's right in your own eyes, is actually what separated you from God, and that's why you're deserving of his wrath. You realize that's what this bears light on and shines down and shows people. Doing what's right in your own eyes is not cool with God. That's actually rebellion against God. That's why everything's broken and messed up. It's because we rejected what God said was good, and we looked around and said, I'm going to determine what's good. If you realize that, and you've turned to Jesus who died to take the punishment we deserve for living lives like that and offers forgiveness for you and restoration and his perfect standing before God. If you've owned that, you have been transformed. We looked last week of walking in newness of life. It changes what you want. It changes your desires. And it changes the way that you live. It transforms you. It begins to, and so become who you are. And over time, if you have the Spirit in you, this is going to happen. There'll be false starts. There'll be moments that may even struggle and feel like you're not moving forward because you're not taking advantage of the good gifts he's given you to do this. But you're not going to stay where you're at because the Spirit's in you. But I do want to point this out. I need to make this statement. We're about to go into showing like how this actually looks, how you actually apply this to your life. But I do want to say this before I move to show what you're shown, what you've been shown. It does say clearly in here, do not be deceived. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Right in verse 6, but in verse 5 he says, you can be sure of this. In the Greek, this is like, you can be absolutely certain you can take this to the bank. The Greek says this is an absolute certainty. There are no exceptions. There are no loopholes in verse 5. That everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Here's what it means. That should keep you up at night. This is one of those verses that has kept me up in the night in the past. Can a Christian have a moment of failure? Yes. But this text is very, very clear. If your life is characterized by this type of lifestyle, and you don't care what God thinks about it, there's no place for you in the kingdom of God. He's saying, you cannot become who you are because you are not a child of God. You've never turned from your sins and sought forgiveness in Christ because you're still living life with you at the driver's seat. Jesus has never stepped into the driver's seat in your life. And this is a text that, you know, we cannot project on other people. We can only make guesses. We can't say anything for certain. But we should be concerned for those whose lives are characterized by this, that say they're Christians. Pray for them. Pursue them with the gospel. If they're Christians, God will get their attention. If they're not, there's a chance that they will come to faith. Either way, you pursue them with Jesus. Well, that should concern us because we know the truth, because the light has shown us what's darkness and what's light. If that's you this morning, you need to sort through who you are, whether you're a child of light or a child of darkness. And I don't want anybody to leave this place without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt they are a child of light. So come talk to me after the service, and we can talk about that, or Brother Billy, or maybe somebody's brought, you know somebody here who's invited you and you need to talk with them. Talk with them so that you know where you stand with God. But how do we become who we are? How do we apply that? It really, you see this here in the text in verse 1. That we're to walk in love as Jesus loved us and gave himself up for us, is that as there, we're to show what we've been shown. It's really simple. It really is simple. The problem is, I mean, the principle's simple. Applying it's hard. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit if we trust in Christ. Right? We just show what we've been shown. So we're to walk in love and love as Jesus loved me. So I think about my relationship with God and how he treats me, despite my brokenness, despite the things I'm dealing with, and that becomes the pattern then that I use in relating to other people, which is hard. But that's what we're to do. That's what walking in light and walking in love is that we are to love as the love's been shown to us in Christ. That's how we become who we are. That's how you have to be chasing something, okay? In this text, you're to pursue and become who you are, or by default, you're going to live the other way. It's listed here. There's no neutral position. You're always chasing and becoming something. And so in order for us as Christians to become who we are in Christ, we have to consciously and intentionally think about how God has loved us in his Son. How God has loved us and giving us a good creation. We talked about that at our camping trip. God has given us good things we can enjoy so that we get a glimpse of how great he is. Here in this passage, we're told that we are shown grace, which is the second point here. And that's how we know what kind of love we've been shown by God. That Christ loved us by giving himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's grace. Jesus was allowed himself to be killed on a cross, his blood shed, brutally beaten, so that you would have life. That's the kind of love God has shown people who didn't deserve it. That's what grace is. And so that's the kind of love and grace we show other people, is they may not deserve our love. They may not deserve it, but neither did we. We didn't deserve God's love. That's not what our faith teaches. Our faith teaches that God gave love and grace and forgiveness and offers it to everyone, regardless of how bad they are, because they're all bad. There's only one that was good, and that was God in the flesh, Jesus. And we've been shown life and truth. Simple. How do we know all the things we're talking about this morning? We've been shown light and truth in his word. You know what you know about God, about where you stand with him, because it's been revealed to you. It has been shared with you. It's been taught to you through personal relationships, through services like this, through Sunday school lessons, through reading books, through reading scripture. You know these things. And so since that's been shown to you, that's why he uses the analogy as children of light here. It's given to you so that it would be shown. It's shown to you so you can show it to others. So it matters that whether or not we show the truth, what we've been shown through Scripture, to other people. It matters whether we show other people Jesus and what he's done for everyone, offers it to everyone freely. If they would just trust in him, if they turn away from a life lived doing what's right in their own eyes and turn to him and accept what he's done on the cross, that they would have life and they too would become a child of light. We are given these good, precious things so that we're to show them to others. And really can sum it up in the mission statement that we have, knowing Christ and making him known. So are you doing that? Are you consciously thinking about the love God's shown for you and showing it, trying to show that to other folks? Are you thinking about the grace that he's shown you, giving you good, loving you, forgiving you, doing all these things though you don't deserve it? He let go of what you owed him because Christ paid what you owed him. Are you letting go of what other people owe you and offering them forgiveness as well? Are you sharing, pointing people to the light and life and the truth that they can find in Christ as you live life? Because we aren't given these things to hide them for our own private spirituality. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about living as a child of light. We've been shown light, and so we display light for all to see. If not, become who you are. If you know that you've trusted in Christ, know that he's given you your spirit, use the good tools he's given you. Ask for forgiveness and pursue this so that you can walk like your dad and talk like your dad. You move. We're going to have a time of response where you respond as the Lord leads. Maybe you need to get your heart right with God, pray with him down here at the front. You need to pray with someone else. Feel free to do that. You can pray where you're at. But you move as the Lord leads you in this time. And we're just going to have that. If you would stand, I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll have our time of response. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us in your Son. For the love that you've shown us, for the life that you've given us, for the grace that you poured out on us, for the truth and the light that we've been shown through your word. Help us become who we are. Help us to show and display the beautiful things that you've shown to us. Help us to show them to others. If there's anyone here this morning who does not know you, they've never known what it is to be a child of light. They know they're a child of darkness, but they don't want to stay there. I pray that you would give them the courage and strength to step out in faith and trust in you. I ask this all in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.